the United States. We crossed to Ron Elving. That was a subtle reference to what's just happened in your country, Ron. The statements that have come from the Vice President's Chief of Staff, I think it was, in the last few days. Welcome, Ron Elving.
It's good to be with you, Catherine.
Where shall we begin? That comment, perhaps, remind me of the exact words. We can't control the pandemic, or we can't manage the pandemic. We're not going to, was the phrase.
Yes, the White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, said, we are not going to control the pandemic. We're going to look to a vaccine next year. We're going to look to therapeutics. We're going to do what we can to deal with it. But it's a worldwide phenomenon, and really, we can't control it. So many people have been interpreting this as a kind of white flag, a surrender signal from the White House saying, we really have no intention of trying to get our arms around this thing. We're just going to ride it out, hope for a vaccine soon, and provide what kinds of treatment we possibly can. And really, this is perhaps best called an acknowledgement of what the policy of the White House has been since approximately April or May.
So now we are seeing both the president and the vice president, who of course has many on his staff now COVID positive. However, both are around the country in absolutely full-on campaign mode. Very much a focus on these big rallies as a last push, Ron.
Yes, and there has been some history of this kind of last push, usually, though, not associated with the incumbent president, usually with a challenger who's falling short, spending the last week frantically campaigning around the country, trying to not only rally support but also media attention for the campaign. Now, of course, President Trump has regularly kept up these rallies ever since he successfully used them in the final week of the campaign in 2016. He continued having them, even as president. And he did take a few months off during the worst of the earlier spike in the COVID cases here. But this week, he's traveling around having these rallies. People who attend are jammed into spaces, many of them, most of them, not wearing masks. And they are exposed to, well, they're exposed to whatever they might be exposed to from their fellow rally goers. So that seems to have been a super spreader event, at least on a couple of occasions already. But the president really believes that these rallies are going to rescue his campaign.
Let's look at what will happen on the night, because it's getting close now, down to 9 days, I think. And postal voting, he's been very focused on that, President Trump. What role will it play in whether or not we get a clear result on the night and on what people say?
What people need to remember about American elections is that they are supervised by each of the individual states and their localities. That is, 50 states and literally thousands of different county authorities do the counting. They do the ballots, they make up the ballots, they put the names on them, and then they report in various fashions, depending on what kind of technology they're using. It's quite a remarkably decentralized kind of method. So we probably have never known for sure on election night who won, because the counts don't get certified for days or weeks thereafter. But usually there's a very clear indication, and we can do projections and use computers to tell us who probably has won. And maybe that will be possible this year. But it's also quite possible that because so many votes won't be counted until the day after, or the day after that, or the day after that, some states are accepting these mailed-in ballots until the end of the week, and some are accepting them whenever they come in. And most are going to be cutting it off on election day, but many of the swing states, the ones we're most wondering about, those are not going to count their mailed-in ballots until the day after the election, which means some of the key states that may determine the overall national outcome won't be known until Wednesday or Thursday, a week from now.
If things do get tight, and if, as has been suggested, we end up in a disputed election, we will have, by the looks of it, the ninth Supreme Court judge there against the protestations of the Democrats. It looks like the new Supreme Court justice will be confirmed.
Yes, she will be confirmed. The vote will not be a tie, and the vice president will not be able to break it if it is a tie, because the vice president has decided not to come to the vote with his tie-breaking power because so many of his staff have been tested positive for COVID, and so the senators really would prefer that he not come. It doesn't look like that should be necessary. They should have just over the minimum for Judge Barrett to be confirmed and become Justice Barrett, and she is going to be sworn in tonight at the White House by the oldest, longest-serving member of the Supreme Court, not the Chief Judge, which Chief Justice, which would be more conventional, but in another symbolic gesture, the oldest, longest-serving, and most conservative member of the court is being given the honor of swearing her in. And as you say, that will create a 6-3 majority on the court for the conservative bloc, and theoretically, a friendly bloc to the president if it's going to come to
a decision by the court. Thank you very much, Ron Elving.